Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Wednesday night edition Bible study. This is Pastor Brooks and with the New Birth Ministries. We thank God for the Lord blessing us to come back together to share in His Word, to pray, to study, to fellowship, give God praise, and thank Him for all that He has done since we have last gathered together here via Bible study, via Blog Talk Radio. And again, God is good. We do thank Him for the light tribulations and the troubles that we go through, but we know that God is able to sustain us. He will take us through, He will bring us out, and He will allow us to be victorious. Praise God. Before we get ready to get started with tonight's session, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this opportunity to come to worship, to study, to share Your Word, to fellowship with those who are on the lines and those who will be calling in later on or who will be listening, maybe not even tonight, but at a later date. We just thank You for wisdom. We thank You for guidance. We thank You for blessing us, and we just thank You for keeping us in perfect peace. We thank You for Your Word. We realize that Your Word is sufficient for us and that Your Word will sustain us through every trial and tribulation. We ask that You look upon us tonight. We pray for those who are sick. We ask that You would touch their bodies. We pray that You would give healing and deliverance. We ask that You touch the bodies of those who are on our prayer list. We ask that You bless us even as we're in this cold snap down here. Continue to let Your guarding angels camp about us. Continue to protect us, keep us from hurt, harm, and danger. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Praise God. We are living in troubled days. We're living in the end times. And we're definitely living in the end times of the United States of America. Our country is once, I guess, the greatest military power at one time, once the wealthiest nation on the planet. But we're living and we're seeing our country be diminished. And it's diminished because of sin. We live in a time where we, as a nation, do not honor God. We, as a nation, do not love God. We, as a nation, do not trust God. We, as a nation, do not believe God. Constantly flaunting our wicked ways before heaven, the things that God tells us we should not do. We pass laws and say that these things are all right. We have gone from a nation who would acknowledge God to a nation who only wants to acknowledge God on their money and maybe on Sunday for a couple of hours. And so we are in this situation again. It's because of sin. We have said homosexuality is okay, nothing wrong with it. People can do what they want to do. We've gone so far as to legalize it and allow a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. Some places, they, instead of saying man and woman, a husband and wife, is person one, person two. And so we've done these things which are against the principles of God. They're against the word of God. And how can we be blessed as a nation when we are a nation who no longer loves God? As we read in the word of God, God tells us, and he told Israel, and tells us as well, that he will be our God as long as we are his people. But when we choose not to be his people, then he will no longer be our God. And where we have to be careful as children of God, we have to understand that even though there is a remnant, even though there are a few crying out and preaching holiness, that we live in a society where the majority does not love God, the majority hates God. And so, as the scripture have declared, the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And surely we see the United States of America surely turning into hell. Now, it's interesting when we go into the Word of God, we go in the book of Revelation and we go in the book of Daniel, and these books talking about the future events. And we read about the Roman Empire. We read about the nations of the north, Gog and Magog. And, you know, we can identify these as China and Russia. We can look at the Roman Empire. We can look at Italy and the countries of Europe. We can identify these countries in the latter days, the end times. But when we're reading about these countries during the end times, we can't see the United States, one of the most powerful, one of the richest countries on the planet. We don't see them in, don't see us in Revelation. And why don't we see us? Evidently, when the end time comes, when Christ gets ready to come, we'll have lost all of our influence. We have lost all of our military might and military strength, and we'll probably be under the thumb of some other power. In other words, we won't be, as we are now, the superpower calling all of the shots. The shots will be called from Europe, Germany, and all these nations that once we defeated in World War I and World War II, these will rise up again, and they will be strong, and we don't see the United States. And so why don't we see the United States? Because the United States is on a path that, again, we're ignoring God, we're rejecting God, And anytime we constantly reject God, we're inviting Satan in. And so when we invite the enemy in, we become an enemy of God. And God will not allow us to stand and continue on with our evil doing and our evil ways and saying that we are God's people. I invite you to come and worship with us at Sundays at 10 o'clock at 6424 Benjamintown Road in Millington. We're not in Millington proper, but we're located between Shelby Forest and the North Haven community. So we're out in the country. We're out in the county. We have a Millington address, Memphis phone number. We're in a little area that's between both entities, Memphis and Millington. But we invite you to come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10 o'clock here, Wednesday night, Bible study. Monday night, the missionaries have a prayer line. Later on, before we get ready to close, Missionary Cooper will bring her in, and she will share that phone number with you all. I just read an article that was I saw this afternoon. It was in our morning, in the local morning paper, also, and probably pretty sure in the USA Today. If it wasn't there today, it'll be there tomorrow, or maybe it was there yesterday. Our paper is so now, our local newspaper, that when we get it, the news is 2 days old. And so it's a shell of its former self, been bought up by USA Today, and they even closed down. They don't even publish it in Memphis anymore. They publish it in Jackson, Tennessee, and ship the paper in to Memphis the following morning. I used to enjoy the commercial appeal. It used to be a better paper, a lot of local writing, especially on, we used to even get early Sunday edition on Saturday night. Saturday night at 10 o'clock, you could go on the street, find vendors, or go into the service stations that were open all night, and you could purchase a copy, an early edition of the Sunday paper on a Saturday night. But and those days are long gone. But this article is entitled "Why Young Adults Are Dropping Out of Church." It says, large numbers of young adults who frequently attended Protestant worship services in high school are dropping out of church. 2/3 of young people say they stopped regularly going to church for at least a year between the ages of 18 and 22, a New Lifeway research survey shows. That means the church had a chance to share its message and the value of attending with this group, but it didn't stick, said Scott McConnell, executive director of Lifeway Research. That's a lot of folks saying, no, that's not for me, or it's not for me right now at that young age, McConnell said. Lifeway Research released its student dropout survey last week. The Nashville-based entity interviewed 2,002 U.S. adults ages 23 to 30 who attended a Protestant church two times or more a month for at least a year in high school. The interviews were conducted from September 15 to October 13, 2017. Lifeway Research is a ministry of Lifeway Christian Resources, which is the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. The high dropout did not surprise Pastor Chris Brooks, who leads Cairo's congregation at Brentwood Baptist Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. The majority of those who attend Cairo's Tuesday night service are between the ages of 22 and 29. There is a substantial amount of people in this age demographic who, for whatever reason, decided that the church is no longer integral to building their faith, or their faith is no longer integral to them, Brooks said. He loves young adults. They are selfish, but also still trying to figure out who they are and what they want to do, Brooks said. It leads to lively and challenging discussions at church, which he welcomes. It's identity and purpose, which are common things throughout the Bible, Brooks said, and they're becoming aware of, do they like the God that they were given growing up? Why young people say they are not going to church. The 66% who said they stopped attending church regularly as young adults cited a variety of reasons for leaving. The survey listed 55 and asked them to pick all that applied. On average, they chose 7 or 8 reasons, McConnell said. The reasons fell under 4 categories. Nearly all, 96%, cited life changes, including moving to college and work responsibilities that prevented them from attending. 73% said church or pastor-related reasons led them to leave. Of those, 32% said church members seemed judgmental or hypocritical, and 29% said they did not feel connected to others who attended. 70% named religious, ethical, or political beliefs for dropping out. Of those, 25% said they disagreed with the church's stance on political or social issues, while 22% said they were only attending to please someone else. And 63% said student and youth ministry reasons contributed to their decisions not to go. Of those, 23% said they never connected with students in student ministry, and 20% said the students seemed judgmental or hypocritical. We're tapping into a lot of different feelings and logistical things as well, said McConnell, pointing out that this age group is often in a time of transition. But leaving was not an intentional decision for many. Of those who dropped out, 71% said they did not plan on it. A statistic like that says, wow, we need to help these young people plan ahead, McConnell said. Those who left are not out of reach, experts say. At Iowa State University, it takes students to reach other students with the gospel, said Kendra Gustafson, associate director of the Salt Company, which is a Southern Baptist ministry in Ames, Iowa, on the Ames, Iowa campus. We have found that discipline, discipling, and equipping our student leaders to reach out to their peers has been probably the most effective form of ministry, Gustafson said. They really can do it. Give them courage and just boldness to just relationally welcome people in. McConnell does not think those who have left between the ages of 18 and 22 are out of the church's reach forever. When the 66% who said they left picked reasons for leaving, only 10% said they dropped out because they stopped believing in God. Some who stopped attending church had already returned. At the time of the survey interviews, 31% of those who had dropped out as young adults said they were currently attending twice a month or more. 39% said they were attending church once a month or less, and 29% said they were not going at all. I think the church should continue to reach out to them and be sharing the news of the gospel to have a relation with God, but also have a relationship with the church, McConnell said. For many of these young people, they haven't completely rejected the church. They may just be attending less and thinking that's okay. So this is a state of our young people who were brought up in the church that as young adults, they are not attending. And for various reasons, they are being disconnected from the church and also being disconnected from Christ. And so we have a job on our hand, preaching the good news, preaching the gospel, bringing our young people who were brought up in church, bringing them back into the church, as well as reaching those who were not brought up in the church. Well, there's so much going on in these days and time. The subject was asking a question: is abortion murder? Is abortion wrong? Is abortion a sin? When we think about abortion, and we've had, and what is abortion? Abortion is this medical procedure when you woman is pregnant, she goes and terminates the pregnancy. In other words, she destroys the fetus that's in the womb. And so we have to ask ourselves, is a fetus a person? Is a fetus a child? Someone remarkably said, well, how can abortion be considered a sin when the Bible doesn't mention abortion? Well, the Bible does not mention abortion per se. That was no medical procedure to end pregnancy at an early stage when God was speaking to man. And we have to understand, when God gave us commandments, all of the wickedness and evil devices had not been thought up by man. All of the wickedness and evil devices had not yet been given to man from Satan. And so there were just some things that God did not deal with, because these things were not present in the world. One of the reasons people try to justify homosexuality is that they come with the argument, well, Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality. Jesus didn't address homosexuality. So why is that cried out as a sin? Again, we have to understand. And when Jesus came along, you had the Old Testament, and the Old Testament plainly stated that man is not to lie with another man. It gave laws about women having sex with women, men having sex with men. The Old Testament gave commandments and discussed the era of people having sex with animals and people raping one another. And when Jesus came to fulfill the law, it was just common sense, and it was just plain known that homosexuality was a sin, and really wasn't any reason to deal with it. People knew that bestiality was a sin, wasn't any reason to deal with it. People knew that having sex with children was wrong, wasn't any need to be discussing that. There were things that Christ did not discuss that we have that's recorded in the Gospels, because the mind of the people that he's talking to were not so warped, not so wicked, not so weak, that he had to spell out what was plain, what was pure, what was common sense. But now we live in a society where we want to do everything. The devil has us blinded. We read in stories about people having sex with animals. We're reading stories, people are raping people who are in comas. Had a story where a woman was in a nursing home and she was in her 20s, late 20s. She's in a vegetative state, but she ended up pregnant. And when the baby was delivered, they went and tested all the men in the nursing home, tested their DNA against the baby's DNA, and found out it was one of the, I guess, registered male nurses or attendants or something. I think it was a nurse, one of the employees, male employees in this establishment, who's having sex with a woman who is in a vegetative state, a woman who is unable to respond, a woman who's unable to respond in any type of fashion. Even in Memphis last year, we had a situation where in the hospital, in the morgue area, a security guard was caught having sex with a corpse. Woman had recently passed in the hospital in Memphis, I think it was St. Francis Hospital, and he's supposed to be protecting the place. He's taking the corpse and having sex with a dead woman, dead cadaver. And it's just sick and just weak, but these are the times in which we live in where the enemy puts in the minds of people that you ought to do this, there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing wrong with that. And people go along with the enemy and say, well, let me try that. And then what do we do? Anybody with common sense or an ounce of decency knows that having sex with dead people is not right. But people have been doing that, I guess, for years. I remember when I was a young person, that even in our community, when a woman would pass, whether she was young or old, that another female would ride in the hearse to the funeral home, courting that deceased female. They did it for the purpose of making sure that the deceased female got there without being molested. And as a child, I always was wondering, and I'm saying to myself, that's a waste of time. Nobody gonna mess with no dead woman. But the older people had more wisdom than me, and they knew that the minds of people were wicked, and that people, you couldn't tell what people would do or wouldn't do. And then I always said, even if you escort the body to the funeral home, you still have to leave the funeral home. And if the person is wicked, they will have an opportunity to carry out their wickedness once the escort has left. Tonight, ask the question, is abortion murder? In our Bibles, let's go to the Word of God. Now, one of the things as I was reading about the article, again, Why Young Adults Are Dropping Out of Church, one of the things that reasons cited was that they don't believe, some of them don't believe. All right, I'm going to read this again. 70% named religious, ethical, or political beliefs for dropping out. Of those, 25% said they disagreed with the church's stance on political or social issues, while 22% said they were only attending to please someone else. So you have people who are leaving the church because they do not agree on the church's stance on certain political issues. Well, we have to understand that the church, is going to, well, first of all, the church is established by Christ. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is established by Christ, anchored on the Word of God. So the Word of God has to be supreme in the life of the believer. Call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves children of God, people of God. But if our life is not anchored based on the Word of God, then we are only nominal Christians. In other words, we're Christian in name, not Christian in practice. For to be a child of God, that means we are yielding ourselves to God, to God's word, and to God's system. And sometimes we in life reason things one way, but when we get into God's word, sometimes God's word goes against our reasoning. And anytime God's word goes against our reasoning, we as godly people, then this is where we have to be wise enough and remember what God's word said, that our ways are not his ways. And our thoughts are not his thoughts. And so even though we kind of see it a different way, that we have to yield ourselves and see things God's way. Now, we ask the question, is abortion murder? Let's look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Where? In my mother's womb. So I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So the psalmist declares that God has known us even when we were in our mother's womb, when we were a fetus, God knew us. When we started the growth process, God knows us. And in our country, we're having the fetus destroyed. And we don't even call it a baby. We call it a fetus. And why do we call it a fetus? They're calling it a fetus so that there is no emotional attachment taking place to this baby who's being killed, who's being destroyed. And so we call it a the world wants to call it a fetus so there is no emotional attachment. You can call it a fetus. You can call it a rock. You can call it a moon. You can call it a paper box. You can call it a broomstick. You can call it whatever you want to. But it's yet and still a baby that has life. And then it said here, what? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's amazing the birth process of how a child is born into this world. And so, but then we have people who are destroying and killing babies on a grand scale. Why do people even resort to abortion? Well, people go, again, violate the Word of God. Word of God tells us that we are to be chaste. The Word of God tells us that premarital sex is not what God has designed. We get that from the enemy. And so we go and we have premarital sex, sex before marriage. And we have sex and the young lady gets pregnant. Well, the young man may not want the baby. The young lady may not want the responsibility, but we want to have the fun, but we don't want to have the responsibility. We want to put the cart before the horse. In other words, we're supposed to be married and then having sex with whom we're married to. But now we want to have sex before marriage and then wonder why we can't get a good spouse. It's because we do not follow God's way. We follow the way of the world. The way of the world says what? Yeah, you need to try the man out. You need to try the woman out. You just don't buy shoes off the rack. You first try them out. Put your feet in them. You don't buy a car. You test drive it. All of these worldly ungodly worldly wisdom, misguided wisdom that we use to justify our wrongdoing. And so when we get out of order, God's order, then our lives are just totally messed up. And I was reading in another newspaper article, I guess, maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it had an article about a young man, one of the schools here in Tennessee, how he made a perfect score on the ACT test. ACT, that's that test that students have to take, either the ACT or SAT, to get into college. The higher the score, the more prestigious college you can attend. The higher the score, the more scholarship money available to you. And so the young man made a 36 perfect score. So people were, as you read the article, smart young man. But as the article went further, it mentioned that not only was he going to graduate this year, he was also going to be a father this year. So here he was, a highly intelligent individual, but didn't have sense enough to have protected sex, did not have sense enough to wear a condom, did not have sense enough to understand that if I have sex with my girlfriend, that she could possibly get pregnant. But I'm the smartest person in the school. And so this is what we have. We have people who have this intelligence, this worldly intelligence, but are lacking when it comes to spiritual insight. Look at the book. You may want to write these scriptures down. Job, the 31st chapter, the 15th verse. Job 31 and 15 says, "Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb?" So Job says what? We are made where? In the womb. Yes, we may have started out as a fetus, whatever you want to call us. But the fetus is a undeveloped child. It is still a child. It has not been fully developed. It has a process of growth, normally 9 months before it is fully developed, lung strong enough, immune system strong enough, healthy enough where it exits the womb and is able to survive in this world. But just because it's early stages does not make it any less of a human being. And so Job asked the question, "Did not he that made me in the womb make him?" And so we're in the womb, and it's God who has given us this process of life that when we have sex, that we are able to produce children, even though we were doing it in sin, it's still God who has given us this ability to procreate. And what we create is another human. And God knows that human that's in the womb. Other scriptures. So is abortion murder? Well, we talk about the fetus, but what here's the scripture saying, God knows us in the womb. Isaiah 44 and 12. Write this one down and go back. Not 44 and 12. I'm sorry, 46. Let's go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4. It says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to or hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." So God is saying to the house of Jacob, he's saying to the remnant of Israel, that we are born by him from the belly. We are carried in the womb. Our life process is from God. God knows us from an early age. God knows us when we are created. And so what is in the woman's womb is not just a fetus, but that fetus has life. It's known by God. Isaiah, the 49th chapter in the 5th verse, says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel shall be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." So the writer knows what? That I was formed by the Lord from the womb. So even though we are doing wrong by having premarital sex, engaging in sex outside of marriage. We are producing the child and saying it was an accident. Wasn't an accident, it was an incident. But we're saying it's an accident, and then we're trying to correct the mistake. But you cannot correct wrong with wrong. You cannot correct sin with sin. So as we look at these scriptures, God knows us from the beginning. He knows us in the womb. He recognizes us in the womb. And in one of the famous scriptures, Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 5. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. So then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So God's Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. They understood what? That life was formed by God. Even though we go and sin and bring forth this life is formed by God. It's formed by the process that God has given mankind when he breathed into us and we became living souls. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So he tells Jeremiah, before you were really formed, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, he said, I had already sanctified you, had already set you apart, and that you were going to be who you are, this prophet and this evangelist that's crying out and trying to get the nation to turn. So we live in a society where our country, where babies are being aborted, babies are being murdered, babies are being killed by the hundreds on a daily basis. I say a hundred. I haven't researched it. It's probably closer to the thousands by every day. We have abortion clinics, and these abortion clinics came into existence. Again, go back to before World War II. What they were doing in Nazi Germany, they were sterilizing people that they felt were unfit to produce children. They were exterminating people who did not fit their image of society. They practiced this wickedness on the living. And now we've gotten it and we perfected it on the unborn. But even though they're unborn, they're still children of God. So, Pastor, we know that these things are wrong. We know that abortion is wrong, but what can we do? We're just the church. We're just a remnant. We're just trying to live for God ourselves. What can we do? Well, the church has to finally wake up and open his mouth and start asking God for direction. We vote for people who push for ungodly laws to be created. We'll vote for people not because they are of a sound mind or of a godly mind. We vote for people because of a certain political party that they are affiliated with. We'll vote for people because of the color of their skin. We'll vote for people for a myriad of reasons, instead of voting according to the word of God. So we elect ungodly people and then wonder why all these ungodly laws are being written is because we put ungodly people in office. Process in government is that the majority who is in control or in power can sort of push the legislation the way they want it to go. But why do we have to be quiet? Can't be silent. We have to start speaking up. Why does the church have to cry aloud and spare not? Go to Psalm 82. Psalm 82. Write these verses down. Psalm 82, verse 3 and 4. It says, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. And so we have to cry aloud because the wicked is destroying our youth. The wicked is destroying our babies. The wicked is destroying the home. The wicked is destroying the nation. The wicked have us destroying ourselves. We're destroying ourselves and don't even realize it. And I have one more scripture. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 24, 11 and 12 says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, and doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? He that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? So we have to, when we recognize that wrong is being done, we have a duty and an obligation, being children of God, to cry out. We see these babies being drawn unto death. We see these babies ready to be slain. We see people who have been told that you're not killing a child, you're only killing a fetus. But we as God's people, we have to stand on the wall. We have to be the watchmen. We have to be the ones who cry out. God is depending on us. God is expecting us to stand for holiness. We are always quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so since we are God's people, we're going to have to do as God say, humble ourselves, pray, seek the face of God, and turn from our wicked ways. We want God to bless us. We want God to deliver us. Yes, I said earlier, our nation is on a downward spiral. Our nation is close to destruction. Our nation is to the point where we have rejected God for so long, we have turned our backs on God for so long that God will render judgment to our nation. We see how God has pulled the cover off the church, and so many pastors and so many people who claim to be of God are being exposed for being hypocrites and devils and demons. Church here, excuse me. Again, we had a church here. The pastor declared that he can't make it. His ministry can't make it. Is not making it on the tithes and offerings. And so after church on Sunday, instead of the pastor going home, in the gymnasium of the church. They have blues concerts. And last week they had, what was it called? They had a big booty contest in the gym of the church on Sunday, you know, women shaking their derrieres and twerking. And this is the type of foolishness that has come into the church world, that people see no sin, people see no wrong, that we can do anything and say, in the name of Jesus, and it makes it all right. No, it doesn't. What makes it all right, if we are living and doing things according to the Word of God. One of the things, as people, we cannot always know when things are not according to the Word of God. But as we study God's Word, then we will find out. So there are things that we have done in the past that we didn't know were contrary to God's Word. There are some things that we have done in the past that we did not know that this was contrary to God's Word. But when we start giving our lives to God, we start reading God's Word, we see the error of our ways and we change and we do that which is right. I see so many people today who were brought up in the church as children, taught the Word of God, but then they become adults, and instead of living life as a child of God, they live life the world. They want to do the things of the world. They want to look like the world. They pierce themselves like the world. They tattoo themselves like the world. They dress and they twerk and they do all these other things like the world. And they say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And I tell people sometimes, you say there's nothing wrong with it, well, tell me what's right with it. The conversation is over. So we always want to say there's nothing wrong with it. Then there are times we can't say what's right with it. So I want to encourage you tonight to be vigilant, to be on the wall, to remember that we serve a real and a living God, and that God will bless us. Jesus is coming back, whatever the Word of God declares. The Word of God is true. The message I preached on Sunday was, I believe God. And if God has said it, I believe that God is going to bring it to pass. We may laugh, we may scoff, we may say it's never happened, it's not going to happen. But just because we declare that things will not happen does not mean it's not going to happen. And those things, and people saying, well, why hasn't it happened so far? Because God is merciful. God gives us space to repent. God does not want anyone going to hell. Hell was not created for man, but hell was created for Satan and his angels. And I always hear people, young people, talk about, I'm not going to be a snitch. That's my ride and die and all of that. Talk about how they, if they get caught, they're not going to turn on their friends. They're going to take it like a man and do it all the time by themselves. Hear all that big talk. And then when the police gather them up, they end up telling on the others anyway. And so that's the way Satan is. He has us believing that he He's down with us. He likes us. But what Satan is doing, he's trying to deceive us so that he can seemingly destroy what God has created. God did not create us to go to hell, but he created us to be sons and daughters, to be victorious and live with him forever. But Satan wants to pervert the thing that God has done. Satan does not want us to live. Satan wants us to perish. But if I were you, I would not live my life based upon what Satan wants. I would live my life based upon what God wants. And so if God wants me to live, then that is what I would do. I would live. Praise God. We thank God for you being with us here tonight. Thank you as for this study. We had been studying about wisdom. We may get back to that. But this is what God had given me for tonight. I know oftentimes see on Facebook on Monday or Tuesday, the pastor is telling you what the message is going to be Sunday, what he's going to preach on Sunday. Well, it's that you never see me do that because I try to be led by God. I know what I've studied all week. I know what I intend to preach on Sunday. I know what I desire to preach on Sunday, but sometimes what we have studied and what we have thought is not what God sometimes wants delivered that Sunday morning. And so as a man of God, we have to be flexible and go with the Spirit of God, because we're not trying to edify ourselves, but we're trying to edify the body of Christ. We're not trying to glorify ourselves. We're trying to glorify God. And so we're to meet the need of God's people. Sometimes we have to have that flexibility. I thank you. And before you go, want you to pray for one another. Be praying for each other, that God will continually bless us. I see some are dropping off the line. I wanted to speak to someone, but they're gone. I saw a number from the St. Louis area, so probably one of my cousins who were listening in a little earlier. At this time, I'm going to have Sister Cooper come with the information about the Monday night.
Amen. I do want to, yes, sir. I do want to praise and thank the Lord for this Wednesday night Bible study. It has been really a help to me, and I just thank God for it. And what we I'm making this announcement that on Monday night at 7 o'clock, we have prayer, and it's, the number to dial is 641-715-3580. The code number is 31-57-90. Again, it's 6-1-6-4-1-7-1-5-3-5-0-8-0. I'm sorry. And the code number is 31-57-90. 7 o'clock.
All right. God bless you and thank you. Again, a lot of times we do things which later on in life we find out they were contrary to God's word. And we have to pray and ask God for forgiveness and to help us to not make those mistakes again. We have to repent and go through the healing process, and God will bless us and God will do it. Again, we thank you for joining us. Again, join us next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for Bible study with Pastor Brooks. Thank you. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll see you Sunday at the 10 o'clock hour, New Birth Ministries, 6424 Benjamintown Road, Millington, Tennessee. Thank you. Good night. And God bless you.